Well, lastly, I'd like to ask you about Acadia Camp and what it was like there and what your involvement with it was or so on.
Well, when we arrived, Joyce and I arrived back in Vancouver from back east, of course, there was a frightful shortage of accommodation. And we arrived in November. And, of course, we were looking for something. And we weren't having much luck. And I mentioned before that Dr. Shrum was an old friend. I'd worked for him in the Officers Training Corps, and Joyce had worked for him as a secretary, and we thought very highly of him, and I guess the feelings were mutual. Anyhow, when we bumped into him, he wanted to know where we were living, and we said, well, we were still with in-laws, and we'd been told we weren't eligible for Acadia Camp because I didn't work for the university.
Okay.
Well, took about a week when he phoned us up and he said, look, he says, we had somebody cancel out. There's a unit on President's Row, and he says, there's nobody ready to move into it. Why don't you take it? So we took it, and we were very happy there for at least 3 years.
So it was an army hut,
a converted army hut, and they split it in half, and on the other side of a sheet of plywood was another family. So you knew much of one another's business, day and night. You could hear a shoe drop when somebody was going. But there were a lot of people in there, and one of the criteria for being in there was that you had children.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very happy place mm-hmm. for children. And my son just had a wonderful time there with a lot of little villains. And it was handy. And we had a cooperative beer making arrangement. The beer apparatus moved up and down President's Row. The fellow who became he didn't become a bishop, what did he become in the Anglican Church? He taught me how to make sherry out of figs. And we had a lot of fun together.
Yeah.
Earl Burney,
mm-hmm.
the poet,
yeah.
was two doors down, and all these huts looked alike. Joyce was involved with a group of women. I think they were something to do with the United Church, and they were having a meeting in our living room one day, and we should burst in the door and head for the washroom, but Earl Burney, fortunately, he realized he was in the wrong place before he got into the water.
Oh, no. Oh, I love it. Oh.
I could tell you a whole lot of funny ones about Kitty Camp. My son and another little boy filled Patterson, he was a preacher, filled his gas tank with little pebbles. Earl Burney got stuck driving up into the little hill, and so I went to help him, and he says, it's all right, Joe. He says, I got a sack of sand here, and he got this shovel out with his sand, and he started spreading it in front of the front wheels. I said, Earl, that's a waste of time. He looked at me, he says, what do you mean? He says, you need sand in front of the wheels, and I said, yeah, but put them in front of the back wheels, they're the ones.
Sounds like you enjoyed your time at UBC.
Well, I didn't say it, but one of the things I enjoyed most were the young people. I did an awful lot of counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Even before I went to UBC, even before I crossed the road, I had students coming over to see me. They'd come and ask my secretary if they could see me, and she'd want to know why. Well, they just wanted to ask me some questions. Well, why? And finally, I got wise to this night and said, look, any student that wants to see me, let him in.
Mm-hmm.
And what they wanted really, in lots of cases, was just to talk to somebody who had some experience. And they'd be turned off because everything was so busy at UBC.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas they could get into my office. And then when I got to be the dean, somebody put the word around, well, if you're really in trouble, go and see the dean. And he's the one that can break the rules. And I broke a lot of rules for a lot of students. And I only lost one.